Good morning, Peninsula Hope Church. I hope you guys are doing great and you continue to stay safe and healthy as you shelter in place. Today's been a little bit of a crazy day of filming. We've had a little bit of extra noise from the neighbors doing some construction and so forth in a little bit different part of the apartment. And you may see some edits if we have to refilm some things with background noise. So just wanted to give you guys a heads up on that. Let me open us up in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just love you so much, Lord, and I just pray over this sermon, Lord. I pray over the noise that you would keep it away and that you would speak to me and through me, Holy Spirit. I pray as we continue to talk about Lord James 1:19 and being quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to get angry, Lord, that you would help us grow more and more in understanding what you want us to get from this passage, Lord Jesus, and help us to apply it to our lives. Amen. As I mentioned in my prayer, we are continuing our series going through James 1:19 and taking a look at what it means to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And last week, as we were talking in some of our community groups, it got me thinking that there is another aspect of wisdom and knowledge that comes into play that can help us in this process. And this week, I was talking to some folks about the musical Hamilton. And so this really kind of got my mind thinking about this week's sermon. And for some of you, you may be big fans of Hamilton. Maybe you've seen it multiple times. But it's a very different style of musical than we're used to. And recently, there's been a movement, part of what we're calling the cancel culture in our country. And the cancel culture is a movement, I believe it started out of Twitter, and it's one where people are using social media to get people to admit to maybe some wrongdoings or getting something off the air or getting something changed. And so in the last 2 weeks, there has been a hashtag cancel Hamilton movement. And what it's about is people's feeling that the musical does not really address the issues of our country's founding fathers and slavery, and even some of Hamilton's own, either his own dealings or those of his family or of his in-laws. And so people are now tweeting or they're commenting that they need to cancel Hamilton. What's so interesting about this, though, is when you look at the information around the creation of this musical, you find that it was written with a very ethnically diverse cast in mind. And so you come into this situation where it's, who do you support? What do you do? Because on one hand, you can see why people are angry now, but you also see what the motivation was to bring ethnicities together. And so how do we support one side or the other? What do we do with this? And so today's topic that we're going to talk about, it's kind of that key piece, and it's the bridge that helps us navigate being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And so I want to go back and look at the prayer that I talked about that Solomon prayed as he became king. And we know him as the wisest person the world has ever known. So if you would look at 1 Kings 3, 19 through 12, and I'm using the NSAB in this case, and it says, "So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked for the lives of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart. So there has been no one like you before, nor shall one like you arise after you." So from this passage, we see that the way that God answered Solomon's prayer to help him to navigate right and wrong and justice and how to do all that as a leader God told him, I am giving you a wise and discerning heart. And again, it's that discernment, that is that missing piece that helps us to navigate what James 1:19 is telling us. So let's talk about discernment. What exactly is it? When you take a look at a dictionary definition, it will tell you that it is the quality of being able to grasp and comprehend what is obscure. In other words, it's a way of figuring out the things that we can't see, what isn't so obvious, what isn't on the surface. The biblical definition comes from the Greek word diakrisis, and this is describing the ability to distinguish, judge, or appraise a person, a statement, situation, or environment. Again, it's the ability to distinguish, judge, or appraise a person, statement, situation, or environment. So you can see how important having this ability to discern is. I'd like to talk a little bit about what the role of spiritual discernment is, and this comes straight from the Bible. One of the things that we are able to do through our spiritual discernment is that it helps us know God's will, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. We find this in Romans 12:2, and I'm using the ESV today. You're going to see that I'm using different versions because I want things to become more and more clear as we're talking about them. This passage says, this verse says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable. We also see that it helps us know what's best. Philippians 1:9-10, the NIV says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Proverbs 1:5 talks about guidance. In the NIV, it says, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. So spiritual discernment helps to guide us and navigate the different things that we go through in our life. Discernment also helps us understand God's word. And this is so important because I think often when we are looking at the Bible, there are things that we don't understand and we're confused. And we need some help beyond what is right there in the text. So Psalm 119:125 in the NIV says, I am your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes. So spiritual discernment, it helps us understand the word of God, the Bible. Proverbs 28:7 in the NIV says, a discerning son heeds instruction, but a companion of glutton disgraces his father. So discernment also helps us to be obedient to God's word. Proverbs 28:11 in the NLT says, rich people may think they are wise, but a poor person with discernment can see right through them. What this is speaking to is that spiritual discernment helps us to see people's motivations and their heart condition. If you've ever had a conversation with someone and just wondered where they were coming from, what are they really thinking on the inside? Spiritual discernment helps us with that. And the final thing is that spiritual discernment helps us grow in our faith. Proverbs 19:25, the NIV says, flog a mocker and the simple will learn prudence. Rebuke the discerning and then they will gain knowledge. So discernment helps us grow in our faith. One author, I loved how he put this together. He said, the key to living an uncompromising life lies in one's ability to exercise discernment in every area of his or her life. For example, failure to distinguish between truth and error leaves a Christian subject to all manner of false teaching. False teaching then leads to an unbiblical mindset, which results in unfruitful and disobedient living, a certain recipe for compromise. He continues by saying, unfortunately, discernment is an area where most Christians stumble. They exhibit little ability to measure the things they are taught in life against the infallible standard of God's word, and they unwittingly engage in all kinds of unbiblical decision-making and behavior. In short, they are not armed to take a decidedly biblical stand against the onslaught of unbiblical thinking and attitudes that face them throughout their day. What this author is saying is that without biblical or spiritual discernment, it is really difficult to take the truths of the Bible and apply them to our lives and the way that we see things. So we need to grow more and more in our spiritual discernment. There are a couple of roadblocks that I'd like to talk about, though. For all of us as Christians, we would all love to have this discernment and more of it. But sometimes there's things that get in the way. So there's two that I believe are primary that inhibit our ability to grow in our spiritual discernment. The first one is fear of being judgmental. And the second is misunderstanding what being judgmental is. So again, the two roadblocks, fear of being judgmental, and number two, misunderstanding what being judgmental is. Many people feel recognizing the differences in people's abilities is the same as valuing one person more valuable or worthy than another. That's what people feel. But there's a problem with thinking this way. It's saying that if we judge someone as inferior in one aspect of their life, that's equal to judging them as inferior in all aspects of their life. So someone who thinks this way, they believe that if we judge someone as an inferior or maybe not so good an artist or not so good a cook, or maybe their abilities as an athlete are not as good as other people, they think somehow that is judging them to be a lesser human being. That's just not the case. But unfortunately, many people think this way. They may also think about themselves this way. They may tie theirs or other people's overall worth as human beings to their abilities in various activities. But that doesn't have to be our perspective. That doesn't have to be the way that we see things. We can see all people as being equal as human beings, even when we recognize differences in people's abilities. We see this concept in Christianity as well. God views all people as equal, and it is his desire to see everyone saved. I love what Acts 10, verse 34 through 35 in the NIV says. It says, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You see, God has an ability to separate his love for all of us from his recognition of those who are obedient or disobedient and the sin in their lives. God's able to do that. And this ability allows God to meet people where they're at, regardless of the sin in their life, or if they even recognize Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And praise God for this, because if God wasn't able to separate these two things, none of us would be saved, because he would be judging us specifically on areas of our life, not on the totality that we are his creation, that he loves us. And if we have, as Christians, if we can learn from God and if we can separate the realization that people are indeed different in their abilities, in their choices, and in other areas of life, if we can wrap our minds around it, if we can change our definition of discernment, of judgment, if we can look at it differently, then we can start to use spiritual discernment to help us interact with other people, apart from what knowledge and wisdom alone tells us. As the NFL is starting to prepare for this season, this got me thinking of the NFL draft, because this is somewhere where this comes into play. When NFL teams are looking to draft players, they judge or compare players with other players in their in the different positions that they play. And with the knowledge that they gain from how high someone jumps, how fast they are, they use this wisdom, or they use that knowledge and the wisdom of, typically you want to draft the best players that are available based on things like strength and speed or even success in college. But more and more, teams are having to look at things that aren't so obvious. They're having to use discernment to see how maybe a player's character, or even the kind of school they went to, the size of school, to see how those things that aren't so obvious could affect players' performance down the road, or maybe affect them and how they represent an organization. And so as Christians, we need to do the same thing. We need to be able to use our discernment, not just rely on knowledge and even wisdom. We need something to go further, and that's where spiritual discernment comes in. So then that begs the question, how do we become more spiritually discerning? Well, for some individuals, it is literally a gift from God. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10, the NLT says, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God, or from another spirit. Still another person is able, or is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. So I covered all the spiritual gifts because I want you to know that there are more than just one. It's not just discernment, but for some people, they are given from God through the Holy Spirit the gift of spiritual discernment. What this means is, due to that gift, there are going to be individuals that you come in contact with that very quickly or instantly can discern truth from error. They can see the motivations of people's hearts. And they can very quickly see God's will in a situation. They can also identify if something is from the Spirit of God, the spirit of human flesh, of desire, selfishness, or if it's from Satan, if it's about sin. Some people are blessed with that gift. An example of this would be the child prodigy that, even though they're 4 years old, they're able to play an instrument without ever taking a lesson. If you possess the spiritual gift is discernment, it may just come very natural to you. Now imagine if that person continues practicing and growing in that gift, just like the child prodigy. They're going to be able to use that discernment more effectively than they ever have before for the kingdom of God. But for those who the Holy Spirit has given other gifts to, and this is why I wanted to read that entire passage, because there are many gifts and they are equally amazing. If you have the gift of faith, the gift of healing, That means that spiritual discernment comes with practice and training. Hebrews 5:14 in the NASB says, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Again, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice and have their senses trained to discern good and evil." So we have to train our consciences, our senses, our minds to distinguish good and evil and God from the flesh and things of human origin and things from Satan. We need to learn how to appropriately incorporate biblical principles of godly thinking and godly actions so we can correctly judge moral situations that occur. And again, we talked about judging earlier, or judging situations, not the entirety of a person. So ask yourself, can you recognize temptation before it traps you? That's how spiritual discernment can help. Can you tell the difference between a correct use of Scripture and a mistaken one? Again, these are things that spiritual discernment helps with. When a bank hires an employee, the employees are trained to recognize counterfeit bills. And one would think that the best way to identify or recognize a counterfeit would be to study various counterfeits. The problem is, new counterfeit bills are being created every single day. And so the best way to recognize that counterfeit bill is to have an intimate knowledge of the real thing. Having studied authentic bills, bank cashiers are typically not fooled when a counterfeit comes along. And it's the knowledge of the true, the original article, the authentic bill, that's what helps them identify the counterfeit. Christians have to do the same thing with spiritual discernment. We have to know the authentic so well that when the false appears, we recognize it immediately. And the only way we do this is by knowing and obeying the Word of God, the Bible. And then we have to constantly, through training and practice, distinguish good from evil. God's calling us as Christians to love one another. Despite the sin in our lives, despite the need for spiritual growth and maturity in various areas of our lives, God's calling us to love each other. But if we're willing to continually develop our spiritual discernment, it will help us to navigate interactions with one another despite those areas that we all need to grow in. So this week, I want to put a challenge out to you. I want a challenge that you will purpose to read the Bible every day. I know that's a big challenge, a big ask, but I am challenging you, read the Bible every day and do some research. Don't just turn to a devotional. Don't just turn to another person. Start doing some research. Start to develop that desire to want to know more and more of the Bible. Now, there's nothing wrong with a devotional. There's nothing wrong with talking to people. But we need to start looking at the Bible by itself. We need to get so intimate and personal with the Word of God that we're able to recognize when someone is misrepresenting it, when someone is misinterpreting it, when someone is misapplying it. And that only comes by knowing the genuine article. And it's that spiritual discernment that we develop through that. That's what's going to help us navigate working through those times of being quick to listen, and the times when we're slow to speak, and the times when we're slow to anger. Well, we should always be slow to anger, but it's going to help us navigate that. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us this week to have such an incredible passion for your word. Help us to be not just readers, but doers of your word. Help us to have a passion to understand. Lord, direct us to people, direct us to Bible studies, direct us to different resources, Lord, that would help us to have a greater understanding. Lord, bring us peace and joy as we read your word. Pray this in your name. Amen. And we love you guys. Praise Jesus. We got through this video without any crazy hammering or anything. So we love you. We will see you soon. God bless.